June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here we go. We're less than 20 minutes now from Chris Young joining us here on your home of the Rangers. Here's Zach Wolchuk with your Cowboys and NFL sounds of the day, Bully.
All right, let's get to hear from Coach Eberflus. All right, he was on with the Doomsday Podcast. Ed Werder, Matt Mosley, doing an awesome job there at the Star. And we'll hear from Flus as he talked about the identity of this year's Cowboys defense.
Yeah, the identity goes way back. I mean, we're talking back to the 96 Buccaneers, and that's where it goes back. This is the origin of it. And as you remember, those guys are packed with Hall of Famers and a bunch of great players. And the system allows you really to, you know, play free. It's a disciplined defense, and it allows a lot of eyes on the quarterback. And that's where you get all the takeaways from. And, you know, it's very detail-oriented, and that's what I took from Coach Marinelli when I was here with him. Took it on to Indianapolis and then up to Chicago, but it's been really good, and the guys love playing in the system because it really maximizes their talents and helps them really produce on the football field.
And the emphasis is on stopping the run and taking the ball away?
That's it. Yep. We got two things that we do. We stop the run and take the ball away. We like to score on defense, but that's really what our mantra's been, and that's what it continues to be.
Stop the run, take the ball away. And I know you love a good what's the identity question, Brian. That is one of your favorites right there.
You know, it's funny because he started out as an odd front guy with Rob Ryan, you know, and then he just kind of saw that maybe that things were a little bit – Marinelli really liked him when he was here. And I don't know. We'll see how that all plays out. You know, stop the run, take the ball away. You know, that's – it's always nice buzzwords and stuff to say about, you know, your defense and all. But does he have the personnel to be able to do all those things? You know, we'll see. But he's got to find a way, you know, to maximize, because that three technique is really important in this defense. So he's got to find a way. If Oso Digizua does not have a good year, then this defense will struggle a little bit that way.
It'll be a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people would be out of jobs if that would be the case.
Yeah, that three technique is really important.
I was hopeful he would have said something about limiting explosive plays.
Limiting explosives?
Yeah.
That's the main thing there.
Left that one out.
Yeah, like I think we know kind of what we're going to see with this Flus defense. I think it's a lot of what you saw from 2014 to 2019 under Ron Marinelli.
I totally agree.
So
I totally agree.
Like, I think the biggest questions I have on this Cowboys defense, it's really more health. I think we kind of expect what they're going to play with. Now, it is interesting that he says a focus on stopping the run. I mean, that was always something we wondered, with just how quick those defensive linemen under that system want to just get up the field.
Right.
And Rod always talked about playing the run on the way to the quarterback.
Always did.
But we kind of wondered, did that end up hurting them when it came to being able to stop the run? I think where Flus could help here is the play of your linebackers. Right. So if we can go to cut 23 here, why has he had so much success developing linebackers?
Yeah, I played the position, and I think that when a guy plays football, you know, at this level, they have a certain camera, you know, in terms of how they see the game. And, you know, some guys are fast processors and some guys, you know, are a little bit, you know, not as fast. Like Sean Lee was as fast as I've ever seen. He could process, you know, like Luke Kuechly and just boom and hit it. But that was through a lot of film study with him and I, you know, up there doing right up here doing Breakfast Club together. So, you know, to me, I played the position, so I do have an advantage of how I see the game as a coach, so I can really help those guys to be able to see it. But I think more importantly, it's the skill development. And I told the defense this before they left, and I told them in the beginning, I said, we'll be two things that'll be our separator is going to be our conditioning level and our technique. And the coaches that we brought in, And I'm a stickler on technique and the details of it, but doing it game speed and doing it fast. And that's what I've always done, and that's what I did with Sean and DeMarcus, and that's what we're going to continue to do with this group.
He did seem to always find a way to get good linebacker play. I mean, Anthony Hitchens. So, like, I'm hopeful. That's why I'm a little bit more optimistic. Sanborn obviously knows the system, right?
Yeah, he'll be. I think he'll be fine.
Kenneth Murray, it was an interesting note that he was the guy wearing the green dot. I thought that would be Jack Sanborn. It was Kenneth Murray. So I'm hopeful that Murray's able to bounce back and get to the player that we thought he was coming out of Oklahoma, and that he was able to showcase at times with the Chargers. Maris Leifau should benefit from this as well.
Yeah, he should. I think all the linebackers are in a great position now, and I think Eberflus has gone out and done the head coaching thing, and I don't know if he's going to get another opportunity to do that. So I would love it if Eberflus can be the Cowboys coach for defensively for a long time. You know, just too much transition into new stuff. But this seems like one that can absolutely stick. And yes, these linebackers under Eberflus are going to be massive. I don't know how you get all three things where you can eliminate the big plays, get the turnovers, and stop the run. But if you got to choose two, you know, I think they're heading the right direction.
Now, how do you use Micah Parsons? I think that's a massive question mark. I love the way Zim was moving Micah around. I don't know if Luce is going to look at that and say, okay, here's some things that I can play with as well. But the fellas on the Doomsday podcast did ask Eberflus on the plans with Micah.
We had a meeting, him and I had about a half-hour meeting yesterday on that very subject, just him and I in my office. And, you know, for him, you have to move this guy around. Now, what's great about our current roster is that we have other rushers now that can rush. You know, so to pay attention to one particular rusher is going to be more difficult than if you just had one on one side. So that's going to be a good thing, too. So we'll have to do less of that.
There's a lot that they can mix and match chess piece-wise with the personnel that they have, at least to get after the passer. And now when you're looking at a division with Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts, and then potentially we'll see what happens with the Giants quarterback, but you've got running quarterbacks now. If you feel good about the way you can get after the quarterback with guys like Sam Williams, hopefully, Dante Fowler, obviously, you have the ability now when it comes to placement where you want to move Micah. Does he end up kind of being a spy in a sense? Is he going to say, I'm going to diagnose, I'm going to be the guy that reads the quarterback here? I like the ability that they have because of the other options with Donovan Ezeraku, who he also talked very highly of in this interview on the Doomsday podcast, the rookie from BC. Like, Micah is a guy that they can really move in a lot of different areas, and it also is a challenge then to the offense because you have to always know, where's 11? Where's 11 every single snap? You're not going to always be able to say, I know he's lining up here over my left tackle, right? He can be in the middle. He can be on the right. He could be on the left. You don't know where Mike is going to be lining up on any given play. And that's a chess piece that is a big favor for the Cowboys.
I think things could go so well with their young pass rushers that it's just like, hey, guys, go out there and get them. You know, that is in the cards for how this season could go when you look at Fowler, Ezeraku, Williams.
You definitely have better personnel now to get after the passer, including Micah. But I'd be surprised and impressed with Eberflus if he can do better than what Zimmer did last year with Micah, just creating unblocked pressures at a ridiculous rate. So I think we've seen some of that. Can Eberflus get even more out of that with just more pass rushers around? But I still want Micah getting after the passer like 9 out of 10 times.
The 214 says, I love technique, and I love hearing that as well as a coach. Like, this is the separator, I think, for a lot of teams. Like, can you look into what a talent can and can't do? And as pros, can you quickly pick out what's not happening and then teach it quickly, right? Maybe to a guy who feels like I've accomplished everything and I know everything. So how do you get through that as a coach, and how do you recognize very quickly and efficiently? And if you can do that, you get the player's trust and respect. Like, holy crap, this guy's going to watch 3 reps and give me something that's going to instantly make me better, or something to work on that's going to spell success down the road. And the fact that he focused on that is huge. Because it's the technique instruction, I believe, that separates the Shanahan running system from everybody else. Hopefully you're getting that on defense.
Yeah, I think the teaching element of it that you talked about, that's so important. I mean, we've heard when defenses were not good, It is the inability from some of the coaches to sit there and like, you can say what you want, but I need to see it. Like, everybody has different learning styles, right? And it sounds like this is a very hands-on coaching staff when you talk to people that have been around the Star and what Brian Schottenheimer's put together. Okay, here was Cooper Kupp. You mentioned, did you have something, Brian?
No, I was just kind of just going through the next-gen stuff, and just I was just curious about how much he played like loaded box, light box, you know, and stuff, and playing the run. He played light box. Like he played it almost more than any other thing he did. And, but his, if you look at the metrics, his running, the yards allowed is like basically like 20 yards difference between the Cowboys, five less TVs, or TD, excuse me. The yards per carry was at 4.8, was the same thing. I mean, Dallas played light box almost 37% of the time. Which is really, really, really low. He played it at 52.4% of the time. I'm just kind of curious about, you know, because people were killing Dallas on the edge. Teams were pretty balanced running the ball on him. Outside, inside, 46% outside, 43% inside. You know, so he's kind of it's kind of a strange. He's a little bit. You know, teams really kind of balance him up a little bit. It's not just, oh, we're running the ball on the inside on them. We're running the ball both, you know, inside and outside on this guy.
Well, one of the things that we've always gone back to talk about is Sean McVay, right, in the Rams offense. So Cooper Kupp's now in Seattle, but he had an awesome breakdown as he sat down with Seattle's podcast there and just broke down the difference that the way defenses have evolved over the last few years.
In 2017, 2018, Sean McVay's offense is ahead of the game. There were times we were in place, and like, they have no idea what is going on, and we were just manipulating them, moving them to where we wanted to go. It was stupid. 2019, defenses start catching on. There's a little bit of this Vic Fangio thing that comes on. It's like, okay, late in 2018, there was some stuff that's like showed that they could kind of stop this offense a little bit. But 2019, you start seeing some more of this cover four, some of the 6-1 stuff. You see safeties now playing things, you know, from depth and being able to cancel things across. 2020 comes, Brandon Staley gets hired to LA. Brandon Staley was with Fangio. Chicago. Staley, in 1 year, puts together the number one defense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Staley's thing is all about concept recognition, concept match, being able to be like cancel routes, move on to new things. Now you've got a defense that's not just dropping to spots, but now they're playing the offense.
Right.
And now more and more of this is shifted and molded into this defenses now that are holding these shells and being able to say, hey, you aren't going to see what we're doing pre-snap. We're going to show you late. We're going to bring pressures from all different directions. You know, we're not just going to be dropping into spots. We're going to be matching. We're going to be playing zone stuff underneath. Mm-hmm. Complexity of the defense has gotten so much more because the offenses have also started doing so much more that you have to be able to have answers for it defensively. So that's kind of where we're at right now, and it is fun though.
It's great stuff. Well, Chuck, the fun thing is the Cowboys are now in this game. You know, that's what I believe with this coaching staff as compared to last. I think Garrett's staff and McCarthy's staff looked at that. Well, that's a bunch of eye candy and you're doing too much. You're going to confuse your players. We really don't need to do all this. I think the coaching staffs that respect what time it is and accept that challenge are really the only coaching staffs that have a chance of giving your players an advantage. Thank you, Wolchuk. The Cowboys and NFL Sounds of the Day every afternoon at 4 o'clock. It's time for the Cy Young Show. CY joins you next year on the Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensTclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Man, it's been quite a week for the Rangers since we last talked with CY. They won 6 of 7. They won their third straight series. They're back to 500. And it's time now for the Chris Young Show, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you all?
We're doing great. Thank you. You know, Friday we were talking about getting the brooms out, and you guys went out there and you pulled it off. What's it tell you about your team right now?
Well, I think we've strung together some good series, and we need to continue to do so. You know, certainly the games against Chicago were close, and would have loved a few more runs in a couple of those games to just give us a little more margin for error. But I think it is an improvement. We're finding ways to win some of these series, which is an improvement from where we've been, and it's important that we continue it. You know, we've clawed our way back to 500, but we've got a long way to go, and I don't think we've played our best baseball, so I'm excited about what's ahead. I think we've done some things extremely well in terms of our pitching, our defense, our base running, but in terms of our offense, we've certainly seen signs of improvement, but I don't yet think we're the team that we believe we can be, and I'm excited to see us continue to improve offensively.
What else are you hoping to see or waiting for before you know we're out of the woods?
Well, I do think we're getting healthy. We've got Corey back. From a position player standpoint, we are relatively healthy. And from a pitching standpoint, Evo's making great progress. We have Cody Bradford and John Gray returning hopefully soon. And I think that'll really fortify our pitching staff. We'll be in a really good spot. Obviously, Tyler Mahle went on the IL this weekend. We're hopeful that it won't be a really long stay on the IL, that it'll be shorter as opposed to longer. But from a pitching standpoint, getting Gray and Bradford back, obviously the progression, an improvement of Kumar Rocker was big yesterday. And, you know, if we continue pitching like this, we should give ourselves the chance to win. But we also, offensively, we have room for improvement. And so if our guys internally continue to improve, I think that we can compete with anybody in baseball.
Well, we just had a big blockbuster trade go down yesterday. Would you say, as we now get closer to the deadline, a bat or maybe closing help when it comes to the bullpen would be the main target?
Yeah, you know, I got asked this yesterday on a national radio show, and I think I think I was led to the question a little bit in terms of a suggestion that we need a leverage arm. And, you know, the reality is most teams need a leverage arm, and every team looking to win is probably going to be in the market for a leverage arm. But really, I said this on the show and it didn't get much traction. The best thing that we can do to improve our team is to get the best out of our own guys, especially the position player group. And if our guys perform at the level that we believe they're capable, I think there are very few bats on the market that can improve the team from what our guys project to be and should be. So we're focused on that primarily. Just if we play at the level we believe we're capable with the players we have, I think we're a very, very good team. And we'll see where we are come mid-July or the end of July and decide what the needs are at that point. But I think the biggest thing we can do right now is play up to our ability. And if we do that, I believe in this group and believe that we're capable of great things.
How'd you like the way Robert Garcia fared in the in that Friday night game? I mean, it was some jams, but he was getting himself out of there, and it was a pretty impressive performance.
Yeah, Robert's had a great year for us. He's been a leverage arm that we thought he would be when we acquired him. Yeah, he's still a young pitcher in terms of his big league experience, and he's going to continue to get better, but he does have elite stuff. He's got the temperament and disposition to pitch leverage and late in the game, and we're very excited to see what he's done for our bullpen this year, and he's going to play a big role for us, not only in the second half of the season, but moving forward in the coming seasons.
Hey, CY, it's a scouting question for you. We just watched Gage Wood for Arkansas throw about 119 pitches for a no-hitter in the College World Series. Do you feel like that, and again, I hope I don't put you on the spot, but do you feel like that sometimes college managers use guys too much?
Well, you know, I can't make a complete judgment on that because I'm not perfectly familiar with what the average pitch count is in college baseball. Respective to the no-hitter, I did watch the last couple innings. It was really neat to see.
Sure.
It was historic. I think there's only three no-hitters in the history of the College World Series, which is pretty cool. And what he was doing was 18 or 19 strikeouts. I mean, it's just incredible. I don't think 119 pitches is too much in a nine-inning game, especially when the pitcher is somewhat well-rested and competing really for a national championship.
Gotcha.
Sometimes you have to extend a little farther beyond what you normally would when you're in the playoffs or competing for championships. And so It was fun to watch. I think it's great for the game of baseball, watching the College World Series. It's a fun time of year. It's great to see the excitement amongst college baseball fans. And then you have, you know, a great month of baseball, followed by the Major League Draft in a few weeks here. So, it's an exciting time for the game, for the sport, and watching Gage Wood today was really, really fun to see.
The energy, like, coming through the TV was just incredible with Wood. Like, I don't know if I'd ever seen somebody that fired up and charged up in a baseball competitive environment.
I feel the same. I mean, he could really feel it. And sometimes when you're in those environments and you get the emotion, I mean, I've had that in a big league game, not in the World Series and certainly not the College World Series, but I have had it in maybe a pennant race or a playoff race and a meaningful game where I've taken a no-hitter into the eighth or ninth inning, and I could feel it. It's hard to control your emotions at that point, which makes it also hard to execute pitches. And to watch him really finish that the way he did was super impressive. He could smell it. He wanted it. And it was great to see. It was really, really impressive.
Did you ever have a game where you were hammering home the pickle juice the same way Rocker was yesterday?
No, I've had games where I cramped after the game, never in the game. But I certainly know how it feels to cramp like that. And I could feel for Kamara, you know, when you get those cramps and you have to push through them, it was impressive to see him really show some resilience and perseverance there. And, you know, I don't know how many, how many cups of pickle juice he had, but it seemed to do the trick and kept him out there long enough to get through the fifth inning.
The magic elixir. I wanted to ask you about Cole Wynn, CY. And a few years ago, he was in the All-Star game in the minors as a starter. Now he's pitching out of the bullpen, and he's been really brilliant for you in his opportunity. How's his development and trajectory kind of changed in your eyes, and how tough is that to go from I'm a starter to the bullpen? I don't know. Do you still view him as possibly a starter down the road?
Yeah, we there are no limitations as to what he can be in the future. I think for the time being, we've discovered that the best way for him to have success and for us to help us as an organization is in a relief pitching role. And he's done that at AAA. He's had success there. He's now tasting success as a major league player. And I've always said one of the hardest things for a young player is to get to the big leagues and deal with failure. And you may experience some of it in the minor leagues, but when you have failure at the big league level, there's always this level of doubt that you're questioning yourself, can I perform at this level? Can I get the job done? And so giving young players bits and pieces or tastes of success in smaller increments is often a very good developmental path for these guys realizing their full potential. And there's no limits on what he can become. He may end up back in the rotation at some point as he experiences more success and the confidence grows and he continues to evolve as a pitcher. But right now he's pitching great in relief. He's filling a big need for us in the bullpen, and it's been really great to see Cole and his development. I mean, he's 25 years old, and I know he's been in the organization for several years, but he's still a young pitcher by major league standards. So there's a long way to go. There's a lot of development left, and we're very excited about the progress he's made.
CY, what have you noticed about Adolis Garcia since getting a few days off?
You know, Adolis has been wonderful in terms of his commitment to the mechanical changes. It's a hard thing to do in season, but he's worked very hard at it. He's bought in, and I think the results speak for themselves. I think he's been a huge positive for us over the last, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it's been. And our hope is that it's going to continue. But he can just energize the whole stadium when he performs like he has. And so that's really big for our club. And if we're going to get going offensively, he's going to be a big reason why.
It's Chris Young here with you on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Rangers, off tonight, back at it tomorrow, 6:30 pregame. You know the numbers, guys. They're always doing playoff probabilities and updating it. They put your playoff chances right now, CY, at 30.8 of making it to the playoffs. Are you going higher or lower in your mind?
Well, of course, I'm taking the over on that. And, a couple years ago in 2023 when we were on our playoff push, and there were points during the season where our playoff odds were close to 100%. They were 98-99%, and then all of a sudden they dropped down to 10%, 15%, or whatever it was late in the season. And So I take it all with a grain of salt. You know, if you win games, your playoff odds are going to be high. And if you don't win games, then obviously they're not going to be high. It's nothing we don't know. So I just, you know, let's see where we are in, you know, in mid-July, the end of July, August, and then September. And at which point, you know, it'll work itself out. But I really don't get caught up in the playoff odds. I'm focused on what we need to do to play winning baseball and hopefully playoff baseball. And I really believe that if this team performs at the level they're capable, there is no doubt in my mind that we should be a playoff team.
CY, you mentioned you did national radio yesterday. Do you wish that we were the ones asking you questions instead of the national guys?
Well, what I wish, I guess the tweet after my show was that we're in the market for a leverage arm.
Sure. And, yeah, like I was wondering I said, that. Yeah.
Kind of leading the witness and in terms of the way the question was asked, which is fine. But I just I wish that, the you know, that wasn't necessarily what was came out of my mouth. I just, you know, but it's part of it. I get it.
Well, staying with national media, I do got to ask Jim Bowden of The Athletic. He did have an article saying that there's some buzz in the industry that Boach could retire at the end of the season. Have you had any conversations with Boach about his future?
We have not had any of those conversations since the winter. You know, Boach is such a wonderful person, and his belief coming into the season was to just focus on the season and play it out, and we'll evaluate where we are after the year. And, you know, nothing has changed in terms of that. We love him. He's a great manager, a great person, and we'll see where that goes after the season.
Thank you so much, CY. Best of luck this week, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
Guys, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Let's have a few more wins here.
That sounds great. I'll drink to that. There he goes, the Chris Young Show, brought to you by PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch. So that's very convenient. Okay, segments also brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, where are we going next, Eric?
Let's crank open a rim sesh, ladies and gentlemen. We had a big trade over the weekend in the association. We have some KD updates, some Jason Kidd updates, and what does this make you feel about Cooper Flagg?
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Next in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's get some hoop in here.
Yeah, man, let's do it. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed down for that afternoon snoozer so the G-Back Nation can go all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when the NBA Finals have not yet concluded and we have our first blockbuster NBA trade of the summer. How about that? Memphis Grizzlies, Desmond Bain, see you later. He's going to Orlando. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope going back to Memphis. Cole Anthony, 4 unprotected first-round picks and 1 first-round pick swap. That's a lot for the Magic to give up for a guy in Desmond Bane who is not some perennial, obvious superstar-type player, but he might just be exactly what the Magic need. I mean, the Magic were the worst three-point shooting team the NBA's seen in quite some time last year. I mean, it's like under 32% as a team.
Incredible.
Shooting the three ball last year. I saw it firsthand when they came to Dallas before the Luka trades. We still had Luka, and it was one of the most embarrassing performances I've ever seen from a professional team shooting the basketball. It was just clank after clank after clank. Of course, Desmond Bane, he is a monster three-point shooter.
And that team's exciting. You know, I know Anthony Black from here in DFW and now Bane, a TCU guy, starting to get a little bit of a North Texas flair. Obviously, Banchero. That team is going to get a lot of great stuff figured out. And I love Desmond Bane. You know, I think he is just an incredible two-way player. It looks like Memphis is going to blow this thing up and go young, and I think that's the right thing. They've had a nice little five-year run here where they were close. Instead of forcing it and letting failed expectations be the tone, they're like, okay, it's probably best if we you know, see if we can get a rebuild going OKC style.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking when it happened, because now you have Memphis getting quite a few picks. Do you want to go ahead and trade Ja Morant and or Jaren Jackson Jr. to get even more picks and go the OKC route, tear this thing down to then go ahead and build it back up? The reports now are that Memphis doesn't have any plans to trade Ja Morant or Jaren Jackson Jr., but that could just be posturing at this point. Who really knows? Because I think that could easily be the plan. If
so, this is we can't pay three. We're paying two. We got to trade our third for young assets as we, you know, churn that. I think that's what that is.
Yeah, picked up a fat salary too with
KCP. Yeah, that was part of the reason why Orlando had to give up so much in terms of draft assets, because also Memphis is taking on the crappy contract of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Right.
And I think part of this too is it was just too good of a deal for the Grizzlies to pass up. Like, man, you're going to give me all these first round picks. We'll go ahead and do it. I don't know who picked up the phone first, but I can understand both teams doing it. I understand it more for Memphis if they're going to go the route that you mentioned there, which is just kind of tear it all down, get all the assets you can right now for Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. But I do love it for Orlando. I mean, you laid it out. They got a bunch of young, studly players that are about to enter their prime. Bane, super young guy, and he brings
Wagner,
exactly what they need.
Jalen,
yeah, Wagner, Suggs.
They offloaded the contract. You get Desmond Bane. Yeah, I mean, for Orlando, this is huge.
Did Caldwell-Pope play really bad this year?
He was not great. I think he's like a 10 points per game kind of dude, but just wasn't as dialed in from the 3-point spot. And the whole team has issues with the 3-point shooting, so they needed somebody that was just a thoroughbred 3-baller. And that's what Desmond Bane is. You mentioned the 2-way stuff. He'll play some defense for you as well. So feels like a lot to give up, but in an Eastern Conference right now that just feels extremely wide open, you're going to have a ton of teams that feel like, man, we're just a player here, a player there away from being able to go do something. We're watching the Pacers in the finals right now. Why can't we be that next team? And it's not like it's a rental thing with Bane. They get him young, and they have him locked up and secured for a handful of years now. So Orlando will be definitely a fun, interesting team here moving forward. That was kind of an out of left field. I wonder how Adam Silver feels. Like, hey, we're doing big time trades now in the middle of the NBA Finals. I don't know if he cares about that, but we always know, like, during the Super Bowl, it's like, hey, that 2 weeks in between, let's try and keep everything chill here.
He might
news standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, the series, right? The numbers haven't been great. The games have been okay.
The ratings haven't been great.
But so he's probably thinking, like, man, let's just inject some more news into the cycle and see what happens.
This was an off day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that it's that big of a deal, but something to consider. Now, the Suns are not excited about the current offers they're getting from teams like the Miami Heat, the Spurs, the Rockets, teams like that. Kevin Durant does not want to go to Minnesota. The Clippers and the Raptors are two teams now that might be angling to go ahead and acquire Kevin Durant. So, I mean, Shams was saying on Friday this could happen in the next 48 to 72 hours. So, really, we can't really be surprised at any point if this trade goes down in the next few days. It could easily happen, but the teams aren't willing to really throw all the assets that the Suns seem to be wanting for Durant.
I like how this is going, though. If it doesn't happen, I think it's going to mean the trade market is where we think it should be. Guy's older, not the same guy that he was, and I'm giving up premium young assets to bring in a big financial risk. I don't think it should be multiple picks. I think it should be like, let's match the salaries, and here's one first-round pick.
Yeah, I think plenty of teams probably feel that way. And I thought Durant had a longer-term deal. He's actually, it's just a $55 million for next season, and then he's a free agent. So I don't know if he's going to try and get an extension with whatever team signs him, if that's something that's in the works, or if this is just a one-year rental for whatever team ends up making that move. But the Heat, the Rockets, he doesn't want to do anything with Minnesota, but the Raptors and the Clippers, apparently two teams to keep an eye on in terms of Kevin Durant right now. Ian Begley out of New York is still hinting at the idea that the Jason Kidd to the Knicks stuff is not officially kaput.
Not
the Mavs have been adding coaches to their staff. It would just feel like a very weird thing for this to end with Jason Kidd leaving Dallas. So I'm still at like maybe 1% of concern that Jason Kidd ends up in New York, but it's still a topic right now. At least in New York.
The fact the story's not going away does make me wonder how much Jason Kidd wants this to happen, you know, and if in fact he got disappointed 2 years ago when Casey Smith was forced out, and this is just be a continuation of it. And I hope somebody over there in influence is listening and paying attention. This should be your moment to be like, oh, wow, Jason Kidd's going to leave. Mm-hmm. So we've lost Luka and Kidd, and Dirk doesn't really mess with us anymore. Hello. Right. It's obvious what's happening, and hopefully it gets fixed before another legend has to leave.
I kind of feel like this is one of those things where, you know, why it won't die is because I don't think Jason Kidd will let it die. I think he's trying to, I think just talking to people around the league, he's trying to talk himself into taking this job, you know, and how far is he willing to go to get it? And I think there's some concern by Nico about him getting more years and, like I said earlier, more money. And then it turns into like, okay, now the shift of power then goes towards Jason Kidd here.
It's a Nico problem.
Yeah, I think Nico, if Jason Kidd were to leave, I think Nico would probably be okay with it just for his own self-preservation.
Well, that would be insane.
They need to fire him, man. If that's even an issue, you just need to move on from Nico.
The Cooper Flag stuff is what should be keeping Jason Kidd here with a smile on his face. Now, I saw a draft article on ESPN by Jeremy Wu, who was actually on with the morning show last month or whatever after the lottery went down. Mavs get the number one pick, and Cooper Flag will be in Dallas tomorrow, getting a feel for the facilities, meeting the people, and then he will, of course, be the number one overall pick on draft night come June 25th. I mean, just next week. We make
so
it official.
Wild.
I'm excited. Now, how does this make you feel, though? Because we have the 2025 NBA draft superlatives. I know Broadus was doing some of this during the NFL draft, like which player's best at what particular skill set, right? And so they go through, and it's like best ball handler was not Cooper Flag. Best shot creator, not Cooper Flag. Best pick and roll playmaker, not Cooper Flag. Best pick and roll finisher, not Cooper Flag. Best pull-up shooter, not Cooper Flag. Best dunker, not Cooper Flag. Best frame, not Cooper Flag. Best spot-up shooter, it's the Dookie, Con Knipple, not Cooper Flag.
You
best movement shooter,
say that name.
Best court vision, best rim protector, none of these are Cooper Flag.
Is there anything he's really good at?
Best off-ball defender, best on-ball defender, not coming up. Best defensive playmaker, not Cooper Flag. Best offensive rebounder, not Cooper Flag. Is he the most clutch player? No, he's not. Best motor? No. Best backstory? No, you got to scroll all the way down before you get to the Cooper Flag best attribute, and that is he's the best competitor in this draft.
That's
boys.
What I figured.
Best
I knew that.
He's got a warrior spirit. Yeah. He plays with heart and tenacity.
Sorry, broadcast.
It's just, we're drafting him number one overall for nothing but the intangibles that he has.
Yeah, it was when I saw this, it was weird. I was like, I don't know how to feel about it. But then I went back and looked, and they literally did just give it one player each thing. Like, they were trying to spread the wealth here. So I'm hopeful that that's really.
Do they have like second and third place guys?
I was gonna say maybe Flag is like number two in all of these other categories.
No, they don't. They don't. But I mean, they did give. I mean, they spread the love on this thing between everybody that's going to be in this draft.
Now, if you want some Cooper Flag chicken soup, we go to the basketball brain of Tim Legler.
He's good.
He was on DLLS Mavs, and his quote on Cooper Flag's defensive potential in the NBA, he says, starting like year two, I think he can be in that same category as Amen Thompson in terms of a guy that's potentially an all-league defender. Like, pretty quickly, he'll get there. So the defensive stuff, he's obviously going to be locked down. I still am extremely excited about the future of the offensive game of Cooper Flag. I think the basketball IQ is legit. You got to get the handle down a little bit more, but they ran the offense through him. The three ball's there. He can score at every level. He's got the lob game going with other guys, getting the bigs involved. So I'm still very bullish and excited, but I did think it was weird that the only thing that he's best at from a skill standpoint, according to ESPN's draft expert, is just simply being the best competitor in the draft.
Yeah, yeah, and the Mavs are incredibly lucky to have him. If all he is an incredibly versatile 22-point-per-game scorer who's all-NBA defense, you know, he could be a great second or third guy, but that's my question here is these next 3 years of development from 19 to 22 are going to be huge. Do you become a clear number one guy, mm-hmm. or are you like a secondary guy who, you know, is the dream sidekick to a champion, you know, or to a catalyst type of player like KG or Anthony Davis? You know, I think are really good comps and, you know, possibilities for man. Cooper Flagg. But, Brian?
No, I was just reading about this Amen Thompson dude.
Yeah.
Oh, he's locked down.
Oh, man, he's super impressive, huh?
The Rockets are full of lockdown guys. They just got nobody that can put the ball in the hoop.
He's from the Overtime Elite program is where I was kind of like, how have I heard this guy before?
Okay, Wolchuk has the number one question about the rest of the Cowboys summer going into Oxnard. Then we're going to hit the Expressway, G-Bag of the Day, and more coming up next. The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or mensteaclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.